Together we will stand, fight and we'll fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together. Come on, let's work together.
Do it, children.
Now, now, people, say now, together we will stand. Every boy, girl, woman, and man.
Good morning and welcome to Neighbors on KUMD. Well, work together, work, period. That's what folks are talking about. Lots of the employment situation, of course, here in the Northland has always been a topic of concern. How can we attract more business? How can we support small business? And now the COVID-19 pandemic has pretty much taken everything and mixed it up and thrown it out the window. We got some information, of course, that a couple of big employers in town were shuttering, and one was shuttering, one was letting a bunch of folks go. And we're curious to find out in bits and pieces how this is going to affect our Northland and what efforts are underway to look after our economic climate here in town. John Bennett is a community economics educator with the University of Minnesota Extension's Center for Community Vitality, and he generated a report about a month ago that had some excellent information in it for workforce development. We're going to talk with him about workforce development a little bit, but in particular, the interesting work that he's doing to help retain local businesses during these uncertain times. John, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Well, good morning, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me on.
So your report, let's back up to March. Was it like late March when this report came out? Let's back up to a more innocent time, back in March, and talk a little bit about this report that you generated. And you told me when we talked earlier that this was something you thought was going to be really helpful for workforce development, and this was something you thought was going to be helpful for them back in March. It's got to be even more important right now.
Yeah, I think so. Boy, what a different world we lived in early to mid-March or before, I guess I should say. So, yeah, we put together, and by we, I'm meaning my center. I wasn't the lead author on that report. That was a close colleague of mine named Bridget Tuck, who's an economic analyst with our center. A big part of what we do in our center and in Extension is to help gather data and collect data, whether it's primary data or secondary data, but then sort of pull it together in a way that can be more useful to people who are actually using it. So with this particular project, I wanted to sort of demonstrate, hey, this, like, you know, there's data that you can get after that some people are not doing that can help make decisions and how to plan for workforce development issues that might come up. A lot of the time we know information about, you know, in a particular local economy or in a city, we know what some of the major employers are, and if there's sort of a shock to that economy, we know what the direct impacts are going to be. But we don't always necessarily think about what some of the indirect impacts might be. So, for example, last week, this announcement by AAR that they were closing and there was going to be a couple hundred jobs that are missing. Those are people that spend money in the local economy and spend money at our existing businesses, and that won't be happening. So when workforce development professionals are thinking about how to plan for this, they have to plan for some of those indirect hits that are going to be happening with employment overall as well, in addition to the 200-plus people that are losing their job. And there's data that we can pull together to kind of help illustrate what that picture might look like. So the Workforce Development Department at the City of Duluth, for example, can take that and they can run different scenarios and think about their resources and sort of make a good strategic plan moving forward.
John, has this data, has it been available all along? And is it available to anyone who goes looking for it? Or is it just in such a kind of an unwieldy form that it's like, yeah, I don't have the time to dive into this and try to make sense of it?
I think you hit the nail on the head. For that project, we took information, unemployment information from DEED, that's the Department of Employment and Economic Development, and also data from a data firm out there called EMSI, that stands for Economic Modeling Systems Incorporated. And so, yes, it is all available. EMSI or EMSI is a subscription-based data provider, so you need to pay for that. But yes, it's available, and you know, my job as an educator is sort of to try and you know, put it together in a format that people can actually take and use. And DEED does a good job with that as well. We just sort of try to provide specific, you know, put together very specific reports for communities that, you know, that way they don't have to go to download something off an Excel spreadsheet and not really know what they're looking at. We kind of help to make that happen.
Boy, and I can imagine that any time there is a shortcut or a hand being extended and, hey, would you find this helpful, that pretty much everybody is grasping for those right now. John, this isn't anything that you will probably know about directly, but I'm just wondering, as you are talking to people, there's been a lot of conversations about how, in many instances, a lot of the infrastructure was just not set up to handle, you know, a huge flood of unemployment claims or all of the different, you know, financial upheaval and business and economic upheaval that we've been experiencing. Are we going through a measure of that in Duluth, too? Because that's going to obviously slow things down a little bit.
Well, right. I'm not an expert in, you know, in that overall, but yes, I do think that, you know, we're going through a period where no place or nobody that I know of was really set up and geared towards this, whether it's at the, you know, the federal, state, or local level, and how to deal with an issue like the COVID-19 pandemic. So I don't think Duluth, you know, in my opinion, I don't think Duluth is any further behind or ahead of other communities in Minnesota that I know of. So I think we're doing the best we can right now with what we've got, and it's a confusing time. And even for those of us that have been doing this type of work for quite a while, I've been doing this for almost 14 years, I haven't seen anything like this. So I think a lot of our, you know, our public institutions are, like, they're adapting. And in my opinion, I think they're doing a good job, but for a while here now, it might not feel like enough, but it's what we can do at the moment.
Exactly. So. And as you and I had mentioned to one another, there really isn't a good pattern to follow any place. There really isn't a precedent that can help us. We'll pull out our red notebook and here are the best practices. Well, not everybody's just kind of trying to do the very best they can. One of the things that, of course, our community has been excited about, working on very hard all along, is retaining local businesses. You're working on some interesting projects with business retention, and you mentioned to me that you're going to be doing, and you have done some surveys, you're going to be doing some additional surveys, and I would imagine it'll really be interesting looking back on the results of these surveys, because they may or may not be useful down the line, in the sense that we kind of like to think that we're going through an experience right now that we aren't going to have to go through again for a while, that it isn't going to be like this for forever.
That's right. And I don't know the answer to like how long it's going to be. I don't know. I co-manage a program for the University of Minnesota. We've been doing work in business retention and expansion since the 1990s. And what business retention and expansion is it's a practice that's used by community and economic development folks to reach out to their existing business owners to find out what some of their more immediate red flag issues might be that might make them vulnerable to closing. But then at the same time, it helps gather information that can help at the overall level. How can we make changes to our business climate and our business environment, make policies that are more business friendly for the businesses that will also benefit the as well? And so we've been doing this around the state of Minnesota for many, many years. And in recent years, oftentimes it sort of feels like if you're trying to encourage a community to do this, it sort of feels like you're trying to get them to eat their vegetables of sorts, because it's working with your existing businesses isn't nearly as exciting as attracting a new business to come to town that hasn't been here. But it's really important. The research out there shows that when communities that decide to pay attention to their existing businesses get a better bang for their buck in economic development terms than dedicating that towards recruiting new businesses into town. And so that's something that we really try to encourage. Now, the project in Duluth, I've been partnering with UMD's Bureau for Business and Economics Research. Their director, Monica Haynes, and Gina Grensing there, we've been working together on this business retention issue around the state for a handful of years now, and we were asked by Equilibrium 3 in Lincoln Park to help them kind of do a round two with some survey work that they're doing. And so Jody and Shannon at Equilibrium, they did an initial survey to their businesses to find out what some of the immediate concerns of the business owners were. And what we're planning on doing now is sort of sending out a survey that's going to take a look at, with all the resources that businesses in that neighborhood have been utilizing, what has worked and what has not worked. So when we're moving forward, we can kind of think about, you know, of everything out there, how can we get the most, you know, most for the time that we're putting into this thing here. So we're gearing up to do that work here shortly.
John, I'm curious about this work for you now. I guess I loved when you said that for communities, you know, paying attention to existing businesses is maybe not quite as exciting or sexy as attracting, you know, some big new business. And so it's kind of like getting them to eat their vegetables, and everybody's kind of going along, oh, da 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 da. And suddenly, of course, the pandemic, and businesses are shut. And there's this period of time where everything was shut down for people to either be thinking and coming up with new ideas and things that they can do, or people to be worrying and kind of spiraling, because some of us do that. That's our reaction to stress. Right. I'm curious, as you are working with businesses and as you're looking at sending out this second survey now, how much of your approach has to do with kind of an immediate, how do we stem the bleeding? How do we help you right now in this emergency? What can we do right now in the short term? Because you can't really be asking them, I don't think, or can you, the kinds of long-term questions over the period of time. How much of your work has to be really focused right now on what do you need right now in this month? What do you need in the next 3 months? What do you need in the next 6 months?
Yeah, that really is sort of that's what's going on right now, is how do you stop the bleeding? And so I mentioned, like, identifying these red flag issues. That's the important part of doing this work. And so, you know, what we're trying to do between the BBER and Extension is take a look at the data that comes back, but then how do we connect that, how do we connect the data that we learn with potential vulnerabilities with existing resources that are there. And so that's the job that the data is going to help be able to do, but also it's going to give the folks at Equilibrium 3 and others in Lincoln Park the information that they need to know to help cover up those wounds, I guess you should say. So that's job number one. The other issues about, business climate and the longer term, of course, we need to know that. And many businesses, if you ask them now, like, you can tell when you're talking to them whether some businesses are doing fine and others are not. And a lot of them have a pretty good idea of what the outlook might be in terms of, what they need if they're going to still be open in 6 months from now. But we don't necessarily know that until we ask. So anyway, yes, it's reaching out to businesses is important for many different reasons. But right now, the most important is to identify the ones that are, immediately more vulnerable to closing for and affected by the pandemic. And in the Northeast.
Oh, no, please go ahead.
So I just wanted to say, in the Northeast, we're being hit harder than other regions in the state. So, because we have a lot of our workforce is in hospitality and tourism and sort of in the service sector and healthcare, we are being hit harder than the rest of the state. So it's important for us to do an even better job to reach out to these businesses sort of from a community level, rather than doing it at the statewide level or so forth. Like we want to help a community figure, get the data that they need that's sort of representative of what's happening in their town or city right now.
I would imagine that a lot of this information, too, really is dependent on how this business or that business or the other business fits into the context, kind of, that the business has within a community. Because, for example, if you had a little bookstore in Duluth and how that bookstore functions as a part of Duluth or would function as a part of Two Harbors or would function as a part of Grand Marais, they could all be different.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they could all be different. And some are going to adapt and sort of meet new needs that might arise from this crisis we're in. And some will not be able to adapt either just because the business model just doesn't work for that. And they'll need to make a decision on, they'll need to determine what is the most important to kind of keep their doors open.
John, I'm curious. We've learned so much about these ideas, these old wives' tales, whatever you want to call them, about the way people and businesses are supposed to be able to function until now when we're actually being tested like that and very few people/businesses are able to function in that way. The idea you're supposed to always have 3 months or 6 months of, your mortgage and your living expenses saved up. I don't know anybody like that. I don't know anybody like that. Who can afford to do that? And I think that people in businesses, we're learning that people in businesses who are working really hard and doing everything right are functioning a lot closer to the edge than we thought. Are we all just doing it wrong, or did the old wives' tales have it wrong all this time? Do we need to get a more realistic picture of how to function either as a family unit or a business unit so that we can, cope with something weird that comes out of left field?
Yeah, I think that what you're talking about in terms of how much money they should have set aside, for a rainy day, those were what we used to call best practices. And I don't use the term best practices anymore, whether we're talking about business retention efforts or, business operations. I think the new thing is business owners that are out there now are sort of pioneers. These are emerging efforts. And we're going to learn along the way what sort of, quote unquote, insurance policies businesses need to have, or insurance to make sure that their business is still going to be open and sustainable for the longer term. But, the game's changed a little bit. And so I don't have a better answer for you than that.
No, it really kind of was an opinion question, and it's been sort of judgy. I mean, you know, the idea is, well, everybody ought to have blah, blah, blah. And I think that when reality intruded and we all had to look at our situations, we thought, you know, we have to rethink this, because for many people, that's simply not feasible. That's simply not a possibility. And, of course, we want to judge. You know, we want to judge. We want to say, well, your business is going under because you're a failure or you're a lousy business person. What about how do we balance the idea of this materialistic culture and this acquisition culture with how important we're seeing now it is that we do patronize and support local businesses? Because I think most people are really behind that idea. How do we start to balance those things?
Well, yeah, businesses are you know, going to be impacted differently, sort of like we were talking about earlier, you know, because based on the type of business it is and the service it provides or the product it provides. For businesses that are serving people locally, you know, whether it's the restaurants or other types of retail, yes, we need to make sure we do our best efforts to shop locally the best we can, as opposed to, you know, e-commerce or buying your goods online through Amazon, or what have you. But then there's also other businesses that are just not going to, like, they're going to struggle no matter what through no fault of their own. You can imagine, you know, one of the things Duluth has been working on over the last number of years is bring conferences into town, work conferences and tourists. And if there's events at the deck, for example, I don't know exactly how they operate, but if you have a small business that provides dry cleaning or laundry service for linen, for example, and there's no conferences coming to town, your business is going to be, you know, indirectly hit by that. And there isn't necessarily enough local demand for local people to make up for that loss that's going to happen. And so those business owners, you know, in that kind of example, are not going to fare as well. And it seems unfair, but that's the world we're living in right now. And, you know, that this is the story that we're going to be telling one day, is how the heck did we survive this crisis?
Oh boy,
it's a big one.
No kidding. As you work on crafting your outreach to businesses, again, in an effort to deal with the immediate situation and the, you know, immediately trying to evaluate what do you need, how can we help? Is there an eye toward, we are at this historic moment in time, we can be asking some questions and gathering some information now that we'll never be able to gather again, and so here are some additional things that we'd kind of like to know?
Yeah, it is a good time for that. However, it's also a time when business owners and people are being asked questions left and right. And in my world, there's something known as survey fatigue. And so you have to be really careful with how much you're asking. And so how much you're asking, the way that you're asking it, what your expectations are for the people or businesses you're trying to collect data from. And so it's a tricky balance. In Lincoln Park, for example, we wouldn't be able to just send out a survey from the University of Minnesota right now, especially since we can't do in-person interviews and get the data that we want. We need a partner like Equilibrium 3 or in other communities where we're doing this work. We need a partner like them that's kind of going to go out there and help say, hey, I know you're getting over, you know, burdened with a lot of people asking for survey data, but this one's really important and is going to help us out. So getting quality data, you know, not just in terms of a higher response rate, but in terms of getting more and higher quality data that is provided, you know, it's crucial to have that community partner to be able to do that right now.
Let me ask you one final thing, John, as we're wrapping up here. Can our efforts to support local, obviously they're going to make a difference to our friends and neighbors who own these businesses, but can our efforts to support local businesses keep them stable, keep them on track, keep them present in our communities, or is something going to need to happen that's bigger?
I don't know the example to that, or I don't know the answer to that. I don't have a good example, that might speak to that. I think we're all just sort of waiting to see what comes down the pike, and in the meantime, we're sort of trying to figure out some of the newer emerging practices out there that are supporting, you know, are as helpful to all employers as possible. So right now, that's what we're sort of focused on in extension, is reaching out to communities that have been kind of thinking of innovative ways that they're doing work. This week, we've been offering a webinar series through extension that you can find through our website. That's called Retaining Businesses During the Pandemic. And this week, we're actually going to be interviewing a banker from Northwest Minnesota who's been doing a lot of work in their town, which, you know, is mostly locally owned businesses. And they have one bank in town, and the bank has decided that they were going to go out and buy $1,000 gift cards from their existing businesses to give businesses a little bit of cash flow, help with their marketing, sort of try and think about doing things a new way. And so that's a new thing that banks haven't really done before, and or not that often, especially not in small towns. So those are the kind of efforts that we're really trying to pay attention to right now to see how they work, and so see how something like this can help support by local efforts.
Exactly. There really isn't a long view at this juncture. There's more of a what about the next week? What about the next 2 weeks? What about the next month? And that's as far as I can really go right now till I get more information. John, thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. What a treat to talk to you, and what great work you're doing here in the community. We're going to have a conversation, as a matter of fact, with Shannon from Equilibrium 3 tomorrow morning. I'm talking about kind of an exciting little project going on in Lincoln Park to help some of the small businesses that are getting ready to reopen get their doors back open. And so that conversation's coming up tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock right here on KUMD. John Bennett, thanks again so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
John Bennett, a community economics educator with the University of Minnesota Extension's Center for Community Vitality, our guest this morning here on Neighbors.